Good morning.
Good morning.
And love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's actually three lessons in today's lesson, and I'm just going to focus on some of the highlighted verses, okay? And we begin with verse 17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So we're called in these verses to display to the world what Jesus has done for us, how He's changed us, and how we're different people. Matthew Henry says, ministers and Christians are to be lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Their light must shine before men. They must not only be good, but do good. Let us see to it that we have grace and sincerity. The root of the matter found in us. That is a good part which shall never be taken away from those that have it. So the question for us today is, what kind of life or light are we displaying to the world? Do we attract people to Jesus Christ? Once again, one of the guys in the jail yesterday said, well, yes and no. Right? There's times when my light really shines and other times when I don't. Okay. Verse 18, therefore consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them. So we are to listen carefully to the Word of God and let it soak into our souls and change us. Is this what the majority of people do? No. Okay. Charles Spurgeon writes, we have frequently met with people who, before they came to this house, never attended any place of worship. They were taken there, they say, to be christened, or they went there to be married, and they expected to be carried there or somewhere like to be buried. But that was all their church going and all their respect for the worship of God. Unhappy they to have the light of God and refuse to see it, to have God's diamond lying, as it were, at their very feet, and yet to refuse to pick it up. The day will come when wasted Sabbaths will be burning a burning accusation against the inhabitants of this privileged but wicked city. With churches in almost every street, with preachers of the gospel to be found here and there, declaring fully the saving truth of God, it shall go harder with the citizens of Glendale than with the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day when the Lord comes to judge. Has the Lord provided enough Bible-teaching churches in Glendale? Absolutely. If you go down Camelback, there's a smorgasbord of churches you could pick from, all right? At our English service yesterday, there's a guy from Ukraine there. And I said, in the United States, we're without excuse. And he said, yeah, in the Soviet Union, we had to worship in secret, you know? We're without excuse. There's plenty of churches here. Not all of them are preaching the Word of God, but the majority are, okay? So we're without excuse. But the question is, do we listen intently to the Word of God, or is it simply a religious obligation? Bob Yulee writes, the intentions of the heart will one day be revealed. God looks first at the heart, not the religious actions. And Charles Spurgeon says, you cannot conceal anything from the eyes of God, so do not try to do so. You are like bees in a glass hive, watched while you are working and your every movement observed. God can read the secret emotions of our hidden nature. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. So, are we playing games with God? Acting like He doesn't know what is really in our hearts or how we live our lives? There's many times that happens, right? We figure, well, God doesn't know. He's not watching me now. Because it's dark outside. God knows everything, right? But do you see how we get wrapped up in these stupid games? All right? So we're to listen intently to the truth of God's Word and apply it to our lives. Charles Spurgeon says, no, sir, but hear what is to be said. Judge it by the Word of God. And Pastor Perry and I are always saying the measuring rod is the Word of God. judge it honestly, and when you have done so, if it is not the truth of God, cart it away to the winds. But if it is the truth of God, then accept it and may God bless it to you. It is a pity that men are not more candid in hearing the gospel and in applying it to themselves. Everybody hears the word of God who comes here on a Sunday, right? But they don't always apply it to themselves. Bruce may be listening and says, man, I really hope Daryl hears that. Okay. I know none of you have ever done that, right? Okay. I sure hope so-and-so hears this sermon, right? Well, what is the Lord saying to us, though? That's the key. What's he talking to us about, okay? So we need to get real with God and ourselves, unlike our society, because people wear masks, right? In work, at school, everywhere, people are wearing masks. Christians should not be people who wear masks. When people see us, what they see is what they get. That's how it should be, right? Because we're created in God's image, yet we're all different, right? And thanks be to God, we're all different. Because it would be very boring if the world was full of Ricks. I think it would be a much better place, but no. No, it wouldn't. That was a joke. That was a joke, okay? But thanks be to God for the diversity, and celebrate that we're all different, okay? Because it adds spice to life, right? But why put on... And one of the worst places traditionally where people wear masks is the church. How can that be? Okay? This is a place where people should be real. It should be a safe place. Amen? Verse 21. Jesus replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Thank you. We belong to Jesus, to God's family. Wow. We belong to God's family. Bob Yeadley says, this shocking statement shows Jesus' self-understanding and the radical nature of biblical faith that can only be described in terms of a new birth, a new family. Believers relate to deity as family members. Wow. We relate to God like a family member. He's our Father, right? Jesus is our brother and Savior. God is Father. Jesus is the unique Son and Savior. But believers, even the least, are children of God too. I tell you, when I preached this in the jail yesterday, they were listening, okay? They are children of God. Bob Yulee says, this reflects the Hebrew word Shema out of Deuteronomy, which means hear so as to do. We are saved to serve to tell. But hear so as to do. And wouldn't it be great if everybody came to church with that attitude? Hear so that you'll be made motivated to do something, okay? Matthew Henry said, Christ is pleased to own those as his nearest and dearest relations that hear the word of God and do it. They are to him more than his mother and brethren. And Spurgeon says, the spiritual relationship overtops the natural. But what a sweet and condescending word that is. Dear brothers and sisters, do you hear the word of God and do it? If so, Christ is at home with you. Christ calls you brother. You know, yesterday we saw the Gospel of John, the crucifixion. And I told the guys, I said, that picture of Jesus on the cross. He's calling you brother. The Son of God dead on a cross is calling you brother. Man, how can that not change you? He knows that you will take care of his cause. He calls you brother. He has deep sympathy with you. Oh, blessed one, you who calls us mother and brother, how we welcome those loving and familiar titles. When people call us children of God, I think it's become kind of rote. We don't realize what we have. That we're really children of God. And if we embrace that, it changes everything. Okay? I talked with the guys and I said, now when you get out of here, you're going to go back to your communities. And there's going to be people who will say, for example, John, okay, or Fred, okay. Fred, yeah, he's all right, but he's been to jail, okay. Or so-and-so's all right, but they've been to jail. And I said, don't fall into that trap, okay. You are children of God. And it doesn't matter what other people say or think, right? Because you are children of God. So what's to worry about? And what's amazing is these people will say that and they'll have a frown on their face when they'll say, well, Perry was in jail, okay? I'm sorry, I couldn't leave it. It's good to have you back, Pastor, okay? But they'll have a frown on their face. And I said, you guys can smile and say, I belong to Jesus. That's your problem. That's not my problem, right? I'm a new creation, okay? And that's true for all of us. It doesn't matter what other people say or think. All that matters is what Jesus thinks. And He calls us brother, right? Or sister, all right? I brought up an example to him. And once again, the guy from Ukraine was there. And I said, you got a lot of bears in the Ukraine, don't you? And he said, oh yeah, we got bears all over the place, okay? And I said, well, you tell me, Victor, what happens when there's a mother bear and its cubs, and you go and you mess with the cubs? And he says, you get killed. Okay. And I said, that's right. And I said, what do you think happens when someone messes with God's children? Bad things will happen. And for their sake, I hope it happens to them here rather than in the next life. Okay. But when somebody messes with the kids of the King, watch out. Okay? It's not a good place to be. Amen? So we can have a smile on our face. What does the Lord say? Vengeance belongs to the Lord, right? We don't have to get angry. We have someone who fights our battles for us, right? Someone who loves us. But this promise is for those who hear the Word of God. Charles Spurgeon writes, but alas, many do not even hear at all. The gospel is being preached, but they are thinking of 1,000 other things. I got you, right? That happens to all of us, right? We start to wander, okay? Distracting thoughts fill their minds. We all know how hard it is for the marksman to shoot a running deer, and how difficult it must be for the preacher to strike the running judgment and the moving, restless mind that is preoccupied with other things. Wake up, John. Listen to this. Okay. But if we can get the whole mind fixed on the subject before us, as it should be, then we may hope to make an impression. So focus and pray against distractions when you come to worship, okay? And if you feel like you're getting distracted, pray for the preachers. Because believe me, we need it, okay? Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Boy, that was a loud amen, okay? But we need it. Okay? And pray against distractions for yourself and for others, okay? Especially for the guys during football season. I mean, just forget it, okay? Charles Spurgeon says, there are a great many criticisms upon preaching. Will you kindly make a few criticisms upon your own hearing? I like what a woman said to me some time ago about a certain preacher. She said, I heard him well last Sunday. Yes, that is the thing. She did not tell me how he preached. She told me how she heard. And that is the main point. Good hearers will make good preachers in due time, I do not doubt. Grant that we may be all good hearers. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Come to worship planning on hearing the Word of God, not on hearing Pastor Rick or Pastor Perry. What does God have to say to you? Okay? And it's going to be different. Paula's going to hear something different than Kathy, different than Hazel. But what does God have to say to each and every one of us? Because He does have a message. When the Word is preached, that's what happens. In regards to this, how do people choose churches today? Big facilities, right? Nice facility. Maybe a little coffee shop with Starbucks in the front or Krispy Kreme donuts, all right? Maybe a tremendous music group, right? Or perhaps a pastor who's entertaining, tells a lot of jokes, okay? Programs? What's... Uh-oh. My wife is here, so I don't... Daryl, okay. Daryl, you be good, all right? But what do people look for? They look for programs. For their kids, and that's understandable, right? But I heard this from Charles Spurgeon, and they're very powerful words because this should be the chief matter for all of us when we're looking at where we're going to worship. The chief matter with the hearer when he goes to a town to live and has to inquire, and by the way, this happens a lot of times, the first thing people do will look for a church, which is good, okay? Where shall I attend on the Lord's Day? It should be this. Where can I hear most concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Where shall I hear a man who can touch my conscience? Where shall I hear the truth that will be quick, powerful, and sharp as a two-edged sword to my soul? Where may I hope to be saved? Where may I trust being saved that I may be helped on the road to heaven? All the rest is a mere matter of taste, but this is a matter of the utmost importance. And think about how people pick churches. Are we like way off base or what? Okay. And I think part of the problem is people don't want to hear the Word of God. Okay. Because if you hear the Word of God, it's like the two-edged sword, right? And it cuts. There's time it cuts. And it doesn't feel good. So the question is, are we open to hearing God's Word? Are we children of God?
Yes.
And those questions are synonymous pretty much. If you're a child of God, you will be open to hearing His Word. Okay? Amen. Verse 25, "Where is your faith?" He asked His disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him." What I found fascinating about this as I was thinking about it, there's this big storm, okay? And Jesus is in the boat with these guys, right? Well, shouldn't it be smooth sailing if Jesus is in the boat? You think maybe He's trying to tell us something? Just because we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, does it mean we're going to have smooth sailing? No. But we know that Jesus is in the boat, right? And that's the good news, all right? Matthew Henry writes, "Christ's business is to lay storms, as it is Satan's business to raise them." And doesn't Satan do a lot of that? Jesus can do it. He has done it. He delights to do it, for He came to proclaim peace on earth, as Pastor Perry was talking about. He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and immediately they ceased. Thus Christ showed that though the devil pretends, I love this, though the devil pretends to be the prince of the power of the air, yet even there, Jesus has him in a chain.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Alrighty. You believe that, huh? Okay, good. And you know, it's so contrary to our society because all the movies and stuff you see, it's an equal battle between Satan and God, right? No. Jesus has him in chains. He's dragging him along. Okay. So, does this mean we will get through all of life's storms untouched?
No.
No. Charles Spurgeon writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, do you know that sometimes God works a greater wonder when He sustains His people in trouble than He would if He brought them out of it? For Him to let the bush burn on and yet not be consumed is a grander thing than for Him to quench the flame and to save the bush. God is being glorified in your troubles. God is being glorified in your troubles." And if you realize this, you will be ready to say, "Lord, heap on the loads if it is for your glory. Give me but strength equal to my day, and then pile on the burdens. I shall not be crushed beneath them, but I shall be made to illustrate your power. My weakness shall glorify your might." Amen. That's not easy to do. I'll be the first to say it's not easy to do. Okay? But think about our lives and the tough times we've gone through. Don't we grow in our faith more then?
Amen.
Amen. And doesn't it glorify Jesus Christ when we go through that? Isn't He glorified? Absolutely. Have you ever been there? Yes. Have you ever wondered why? Yes. Or have you ever wondered, does God even care about me? Yes. Remember, Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the boat. Some very comforting words from Charles Spurgeon. No, it cannot be that Jesus should ever be indifferent to His people's woes. And the Spirit, the dear and ever-blessed Holy Spirit who dwells in us, can He be without pity? He condescends to dwell in us and to take upon Himself the peculiar office of the Comforter. This is matchless condescension. Do you think that He is the Comforter and yet does not sympathize? Think of the love of the Spirit and never, for a moment, suspect that He is careless as to whether you shall perish or not. The triune God is love. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. He cannot be indifferent to the condition of His own. So no matter what the world tells us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love us. And when we experience the pain, they're experiencing the pain with us. Because the Spirit lives right here, right? So, listen to the Word of God today. Come in here expecting to hear a word from the Lord. And by the way, one of the examples I used at the Spanish jail yesterday was our Spanish service here. I said, you know, Pastor Perry, my Spanish isn't perfect, okay? But the Latinos come here to worship, and it's because they come to hear a word from the Lord. Not from me, not from Perry, but to hear a word from God. And that's what we come here for, to experience God and to hear a word directly from Him, right? And it's available here. So listen to the Word of God today. And remember always, you are children of God, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, okay? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says, okay? And if you have a problem with somebody, just refer them to me, okay? I got two lines of people, okay? And remember always that Jesus is in the boat with us. Amen?
Amen?
Pastor, will you lead us in prayer, please?
So, Lord God, we do give You thanks and praise because You have the power to completely eradicate and take away the storm, whether it be cancer or whatever, illness. We believe in Your supernatural power, that You have the power still today to heal and totally take away the storm. However, in the mysteries of this life, there are times where the storm continues. And yet there's blessings even in that. The blessings actually in that suffering becomes a silver lining and becomes, when we say, blessed be Your name. Though the road be marked with suffering, we still will say, blessed be Your name. So either way, You get the glory, Lord. You get the glory. We want to be part of Your glory and we want to shine for You. We want to be Your children and act like Your children and believe like Your children and love like children, Your children would do. And to know that You're in the boat with us. And instead of telling You, God, how big our storm is, help us to tell the storm how big our God is and tell ourselves and others how big our God is. And that You are greater than our sickness, greater than our suffering, and that Your will be done, and that we're more than conquerors, more than victorious. Through Him who loved us. And nothing can separate us. Cancer, eye disease, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Depression, anxiety, separation, abandonment, jail, prison, nothing, no situation can separate us from You. We thank and praise You. We thank You for the complete healing in Sylvia and Noelle's life. We give You honor and praise, Lord. Lord, in Your mercy. And we not only pray to You, we praise You, Lord. We praise You in the storm because You are God. And help us to look above our problems and above the storms, to be elevated in praise, to go higher into the heavenly realms with You, Lord. And as we praise You we go above our problems. We go above our situations as we go into your realm of praise, high praise. And Lord, it just lifts our spirits and lifts our perspective. So help us change our perspective of all the things going on. Help us get above the mountaintop of worship, above all the problems below, and then come back down with renewed perspective and power that comes from you after being in your presence on the mountain. We go back to the valley, Lord. You are there through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We thank you for that comfort that comes from you, Jesus. We praise you, and we confess you are Lord, and you are Lord alone. Amen.